How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. We're going to give you a chance to win Predators tickets during the month of October, which we're currently in. We're 11 days in. Just post a picture of your radio dial set on 102.5 The Game on social media, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Tag the game. Use the hashtag #TicketDash to be instantly qualified to win. Show us your dash. Brought to you by Social Furniture. Shop local. Shop social. Keep those pictures coming in. Had a great response thus far. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, our show is presented by Croatian CBD. Croatian CBD products curated for life. The Steelers, after their win yesterday over the Broncos, have learned today that they will be without wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster. His season is done. He dislocated his shoulder on Sunday. He is going to have surgery on the shoulder, and his season is over. So, not good news from the Steelers camp. All right, what stood out to you guys with what you heard from Mike Vrabel?
I think he knows that they're leaning heavily on Derrick Henry. You can sense it. He has no other answer right now. He was encouraged, you could tell, by the play calling, the offense. At least they had some efficiency. Ryan Tannehill's passer rating was 107. The numbers don't blow you away, but they got the job done, right? They were able, as he said, they protected well enough. They beat the man coverage well enough. It was better than it was the week before against the Jets, where they couldn't protect. And when they threw the ball up there and it was go make a play, they weren't making those plays against the Jets. It was much better yesterday. And at the same time, he knows that it's got to get another level or two better if they're going to beat the upper echelon teams that they're about to start facing. So, A.J. Brown, I think we now know he was on a snap count. You got to hope that there's another level there. You hope that Marcus Johnson gives you a little something there in the right role. And then, of course, the weekly question of Julio. But you see the pieces, like this, to get this offense back up to where, A, it's a top five, top ten offense, which it hasn't been so far, and B, you're not having to go to the great King Henry well for too much water and the well goes dry.
Yeah, I mean, I think I took that away too. Also, you know, defensively missing some tackles. I mean, you could tell he wasn't very happy about that.
Oh, not at all.
He
was pretty frank with that.
He was.
Got to be better.
He was. And I think he's always going to sidestep when you ask about a specific player that hasn't played well. He's not going to openly, you know, say that, but it does kind of, you do get the sense that he feels Rashawn Evans has to do more.
Well, and he didn't call him by name, but I mean, no, we talked about it in the second hour. I mean, he missed those. Those are just huge plays,
and right.
Gosh, I mean, we root for him so much, right? But this is a huge year for him, but I think it seems pretty clear, at least today, that all signs are pointing towards, you know, I doubt 54 is back with him next year. At least sitting here today, it feels that way, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It is those Pro Football Focus grades, they start coming out, and his grades just have not been good for a good while.
Yeah.
It's hard for the naked eye to see it, but, you know, they come out, and that has an impact, and you really didn't get a whole lot of disagreement. There's a funny moment that just happened in the
Chipper, you got to have that, man. Come on.
The Braves Brewers is underway. They're in the second inning, no score. Chipper Jones just had a chance to make a – he's sitting next to Andrew Jones. They had a pop foul right to Chipper, and he dropped it. And it's right next to the Braves dugout, and so the Braves are giving it to him. So, side moment there.
But here's the deal, how I look at some of these guys we're talking about. Rashawn Evans' contract is going to be up. Jayon Brown's going to be up. Harold Landry is going to be up.
Mm-hmm.
You knew going in you weren't going to be able to keep all those guys because that just you can't do it. Even with the salary cap going back up, you were going to have to decide who you were going to try to keep, if you're going to try to keep any of them. And right now, Harold Landry going to get paid. I mean, Harold Landry is earning a contract. Now, is it with this team? We'll see.
Let's pause right there for just a second, okay, and we'll pick up with the other two. How would you handle this if you're John Robinson? Harold Landry has been good, right? He hasn't been great. He's been, at times, really good. I don't know what his market value – I don't know what he's going to command. If this – let's just say he keeps playing like this the rest of the season. He's going to be their defensive MVP, right? I don't think anybody's going to push back on that. He's been outstanding.
Well, we got a long way to go, but so far
– what do you – what are you willing to pay him top dollar? Like, how would you handle this if you're John Robinson? Would you keep him and pay him big bucks, or would you say, we really, really like you, but, gosh, I don't know if we're willing to pay you – big bucks.
Well, if you're going on the track record of John Robinson, he's probably going to let him walk, and he's not going to be willing to do that. He wasn't willing to pay Corey Davis. He wasn't willing to pay Jonnu Smith. He wasn't willing to pay Jack Conklin.
Yeah.
I mean, so I would say if you're going on based on that, they're probably not going to re-sign him.
Yeah.
You've got to keep somebody, though.
Well, you've got to keep somebody. No, I agree. I would keep Harold Landry. I would. I wouldn't break the bank to keep him.
But what if that's – I mean, that's why I'm asking. I don't know, and a lot more has to be played out, but I'm just saying if we're having the discussion that this is what he looks like the rest of the season and he is their defensive MVP this year, what does his number look like? And is that going to be enough for John Robinson? Can he stomach that number, or does he say, yet again, another draft pick they're going to move on from?
Well, he had 9 sacks 2 years ago, and he's one away from tying last year. So,
well, he led the team last year with 5.5.
I understand that, and he's one away from tying that. He's at 4.5 today through 5 games. So he's on pace to shatter 9, right now.
The key being on pace. He's got to show me you can do it all the way through the season. But if he does,
would you pay him?
Yes, I would, because that – yes, because what are you going to do? Go out and buy somebody like we saw last year. It's a risky game, the free agent. I'd much rather hang on to the known.
Well, I guess, to me, something that hasn't been said in this conversation is, what's a position that's looked pretty weak this year that they could have addressed with their own in this that we've already just said, and they let them walk? Is it Jonnu? Because Jonnu Smith, when you say, well, we can't let Harold Landry because how weak is it? I mean,
priorities.
Priorities,
yeah. Though.
Like, tight end position looks really weak this year.
It looks awful. They should have addressed it, and they didn't.
But they didn't have enough money.
You have to make the tough – I go back to the Bill Polian. There's a sort of a hierarchy of positions. Some are more important than others. Like the center fielder is more important than the right fielder. The shortstop is more important than the third baseman or the first baseman in terms of how hard it is to find those guys. So the edge rusher, I think you definitely go out of your way to keep that guy. It's a little easier to let the tight end walk and hope that you can get the replacement.
Well, and here's the deal. When I say they should have addressed it, they should have addressed it in the draft. There were several options in the draft that I think that they could have taken, and they went Monty Rice, and they went a fourth-round pick that they traded up for that's not on the team.
You're talking about tight end?
Yes. Okay. Yes, yeah. There were tight ends available later in the draft.
This usually does help your whole
Tommy
situation
Trimble
if your draft picks are coming along. That's another thing that's really making these decisions tough, because you're not seeing that next guy come in. Nothing.
But as for Landry, we have had by my count, I think it's the last 4 off seasons. Titans have to get better at pass rush. They have to improve the pass rush. They signed Bud Dupree this year, and the hope is when he's healthy, when that knee is finally healed, that you're actually going to get the return on investment with what you paid him. That's the hope. But if you have Dupree 100% and healthy and Harold Landry playing the way that he is right now, then I think you have to feel much better about that. At pass rush, they've re-signed John Simon, who I think is a good depth piece. I'm not asking him to be, anything like top tier, but I think he's a good depth piece. But if you have the opportunity to keep him, then I would. Now, you gotta understand what the walk-away price is going to be. I don't really know. The way he's playing right now, I would say he's going to command a pretty good contract on the open market. But can he continue to play
Vic
that?
Beasley got $9.5 million.
Yeah. But I would today would rather pay Landry that than Beasley back then. I mean, we all thought that Beasley paying him $9.5 million, that was stupid. And it turned out we were right. Now, I would hope that price is a little cheaper for Harold Landry, but my point is, like, if you're gonna pay Vic Beasley $9.5 million, why wouldn't you pay Landry $9.5 million?
Yeah. Especially somebody you know,
right,
as opposed to the unknown. Yeah.
So, I think he'll be back.
I'm with you. That's why I'm bringing it up.
Because right now he's going to get double-digit sacks.
I think he is. That's why I'm bringing it up. I think he's going to hit 10. I do. I think the way he's playing, I think he's going to hit 10. And with the extra game, he is going to get double-digit sacks. I feel pretty confident. That's what I know. I feel pretty good.
Do you guys think that, you know, we've talked about Jeffrey Simmons and the fact that we haven't talked about Jeffrey Simmons. But do you think that maybe he's doing a little bit more than we see, and that's what's helping Landry?
I think Mike Vrabel kind of made a point to go out of his way
today
to bring him up, don't
yeah,
you think?
I mean,
that was unsolicited, and he made a point to bring that up, which means there's a reason behind that, right? Like, hey, just so you know, Jeffrey Simmons is having a better year than people are saying. That's what it felt like to me. Do you guys disagree?
No.
He's doing more than he's getting credit for. That's what if – like, Mike Vrabel went out of his way to bring up Jeffrey Simmons, did he not?
I think so. I mean, I think that that's why he did it. And it's something that I have been thinking about that's been on my mind. I've tried to pay attention. But I do wish that Jeffrey Simmons could be more of a disturber than we've seen in the past, and you do notice him. But I think that offenses are having to pay so much attention to him that's helping Landry. If you add Dupree to the mix on the other side, a healthy Dupree, and then you have those three of them, that's scary.
Does scare me about Harold Landry is that is what I would say about right now. Like, teams, like, they don't have a guy. I mean, Jeffrey Simmons is the guy there, right? They are paying very close attention to. Are they doing that with Harold Landry? Even though he's having a great season, are teams really in there all week talking about 58?
Are they respecting
58?
Him?
Are they going, man, don't let Harold Landry beat us?
I think it's impressive that he's doing this, given the fact that Dupree – I would not have been this surprised if it was Dupree that was doing some things on the other side. Mm-hmm. But the fact that he's doing this without Dupree doing anything is pretty impressive. So I think we'd all like to see what it looks like if you have Dupree in the form that they signed him to be.
Mm-hmm.
Along with Simmons, with Landry, then and Autry, then you got something there, or at least you hope you have something. So the question continues to be, and it's, you can ask the same thing about Julio on the other side: is when is what is there hope that they're going to get to what they hope it will be? They made major investments in these guys.
I hope it's in the next couple of weeks because this is when they need
it
the most.
It may not be. I don't know. It's gonna it's like we talk about with the knee. It's ready when it's ready.
Right.
You know, we'd all love for it to be ready just in time for them to play the Bills, but I don't know if that's realistic.
It's hard to know. I will say this. The thing that we're concerned with Derrick Henry, I think you should pay attention to that with Harold Landry because he plays so many snaps, and they've been talking about
that. 100%?
Well, he was 92% yesterday.
That's low.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's played more snaps, percentage of the snaps than that this year.
Well, through five games against Arizona, 78%, 94%, 100%, 98%, 92%.
Right.
And also keep this in mind. Yesterday was the first time that he had not played a special team snap. 4%, 11%, 9%, 6% through four games. Did not play any yesterday. So, I mean, that's
probably where you start squeezing him off that stuff.
Right.
It's like what's more important, special teams or what he's doing on defense? I think
right.
we all know the answer to that.
But it's something to pay attention to. I mean, that getting that number, that snap count down a little bit, knowing that you have depth, I think somebody like John Simon can help that. You know, Roberson was good at that when he was healthy. Obviously, he's been out. But getting some of these bodies back, with the depth, because again, we always talk about this team needs to improve at pass rush, get an edge guy. Well, it doesn't need to just be the starter. They got to have depth, and they haven't been able to find the depth behind them.
Make sure you're listening this hour, because it's currently 12:40. I've told you now a couple times on the show, you're going to get a cue to call. It'll be the Monday night theme song, and be caller number 2 at 615-737-1025. We're qualifying people to win tickets to Monday night football game at Nissan Stadium when the Titans host the Bills. And that winner will be announced on Friday afternoon at 5:30. So just keep that in mind. Make sure you're listening this hour. Every day during the noon hour on this show, you're going to get that Monday night theme song. That'll be your cue to call. Today be caller number 2. And you could be at Nissan Stadium Monday night when the Titans host the Bills. I don't know what to – I think Jeffrey Simmons, I think that's another reason Mike Vrabel brought it up, because Jeffrey Simmons doesn't have that other guy that I think teams are paying really, really, really close attention to. Maybe they are with Landry. I hope they are. He deserves it, but I'm just not sure that they are. I'm not sure how much teams are absolutely sitting there all week going, you have to watch out for Harold Landry. Watch out for him. I don't know. Is he getting to that point? I don't know.
Are they not watching out for him? Or
Big Jeff.
Or has he finally done what the coaches have been asking him to do, and he's developed more than one move, and he's just that much more effective? I mean, I think both are fair questions, but he's showing right now that he's taken the steps that he needed to take really last year. I mean, everybody hoped after a 9-sack season 2 years ago that it was going to be more of that last year, and it wasn't. The defense as a whole took steps back. Dean Pease leaving. But that, you know, this year he's put in extra work. And, you know, it was talked about in training camp of, hey, don't show everything you got in practice. Clearly he hasn't, and he's added more. And so I think that's a good thing. Now, this is just 5 games. When we get to game 15, are we still having this conversation?
Can you guys help me? Something we have not brought up at all. Can you help me what happened in the first quarter with that delay of game that the Titans took?
Yeah, why somebody didn't call a timeout?
Right. Why did they take that?
I don't know.
Does anybody have a good explanation?
Well, it's really two weeks in a row. That one, of course, you know, it's kind of water under the bridge now. But it's on top of the one that may have cost them at least a tie in the game against the Jets. The delay of game in overtime was
yeah,
but they broke the huddle with 14 seconds. The guy's calling for the ball with 3 seconds on the clock. There's no way you should get a delay of game in that situation there.
I agree. And
that's what I'm saying. Let's not wait till it costs them a game.
Well, it already has.
We talked about that last week, and it probably played a factor in their loss to the Jets. But I know we can sit here in a 37-19, like, okay, who cares? It was first quarter. Like, but I sat there the whole time going, what are they doing? Like, why did they take a timeout? Why would they take a 5-yard penalty on that? Like, what am I missing here? What?
I don't know.
Okay. So
I don't get it. I don't get it either, why they didn't do that. Because that was – they changed – remember used to you couldn't call a timeout from the sideline. It had to be – it was the quarterback that always did it, and they changed the rule. And now, like, when you get into that situation so many times, you'll think it's a delay of game, and then the referee will say the timeout was called before the delay of game.
Yeah, because the guy – all you got to do is go up to the
ref. Yeah, you just
got to
go bang.
But Mike Vrabel does not like to burn the timeouts.
I know, but
now, I've seen some Titans teams in the past that were much more apt. We're in a terrible habit of burning timeouts early in a half. But I do think now Mike Vrabel's basic philosophy is, unless it's an emergency, you do not do that. He'd almost rather have the delay of game.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, at the end of the game, when they have 3 timeouts left, I've seen them win some games because they keep the timeouts.
This is the first quarter.
Yeah, so take the 5 yards.
Sorry,
I'd rather not.
We have moments here.
I'd rather not burn the timeout. I'd be okay taking the 5-yard penalty. You try to avoid it altogether, but I think he really does pound that into them.
Oh, okay. I don't understand that. I would. That would not be my philosophy.
Well, do you think it would have been nice to have a timeout at the end of the game when they took the delay of game against
the
Jets?
Well, yes.
And what happened earlier in the overtime? They had to burn timeout.
They had to burn one. And he had burnt one and got it back to get them to look at the play. But I still, in that situation yesterday, I would have taken the timeout. But also, the bigger conversation is
why does this keep happening?
Right.
Keep happening with a veteran quarterback and a veteran team on offense? Like, why does this keep happening?
Is Downing taking too long to get the play in? Is Tannehill taking too long to get the play into the huddle? Is, you know, with all the things on offensive line, are they discombobulated? Like, I would love to know the answer to these questions, but it keeps burning them. And if it keeps going, it's going to burn them even more.
Chiefs running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who got hurt last night, left the game. MCL sprain, looks like he's going to be out for a couple of weeks.
Mm.
Well, that could have been a lot worse, though.
And LSU has lost their wide receiver.
The way he got twisted around last night, I was worried that was a lot worse with Edwards-Helaire.
LSU, the hits just keep coming. Their star receiver out for the year. Lower leg injury. Not good. Not good at all. All right, we'll come back, put a bow on the third hour of Darren Donick and Chase. But first, Willie, you've got a word about Loan Pronto.
All right, mortgage rates on the move. Don't miss the chance to lock in the best rate of your lifetime with Loan Pronto. Call today, take advantage of the super popular zero-cost refi program that I've been telling you about now for months. You can get that rate locked in. APR rate in the low twos, no junk fees, no closing costs. They pay the closing costs for you. Even if you refinanced even 6 months ago, you can do this again and save more money. They can get you down there. If your APR is over 2.75, that's a pretty good ERA. I used to like my ERA being under 3, but if it's over 2.75, hey, even a GPA over 2.75 is pretty good. But if it's over 2.75, they can save you money. That's the point. So call for a free 30-second quote at 615-499-5780. 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com and find out and take advantage of this super popular zero-cost refi program. 615-499-5780 or loanpronto.com, equal housing lender.
NMLS 1661781, subject to lender approval. Not all loans eligible for zero cost option.
Right now, no score between the Bravos and the Brew Crew.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Big miss opportunity. Wah, wah, wah. First and third, one out. Pop up to left field. Catches the ball. Tag. Throws out at second. End of inning.
Yikes. Yeah, your kids know better than that.
Yikes.
It's a tough one because I don't know. I would like to have seen how close that play would have been at the plate. I think it would have been a close play. So I think the idea is you draw the throw to second. In a perfect world, you draw the throw to second, and the run scores before the tag is made, which, you know, a fraction of a second.
Yeah, and I think they were.
You know what wasn't close? Tag at second. Wasn't close.
It wasn't close
at all. He was out by a mile.
He was out by a mile, but the key was the tag was made before the run scores, because I think the Braves might have taken in a series where nobody can score. It's been really hard to score. A run would have been huge. So would you trade a run for the out? I think the Braves would say, "Yeah, we'll take the run," but you can't get thrown out before the runner scores. Now, did the guy run all the way through home plate, or did he ease up at the end?
I think he ran through, but Riley's also not a speedster on the base path. He's a big guy. So
I'm talking about the guy coming in from third.
Yeah, that was Austin
that
Riley.
Was Riley. That was Riley. Who got thrown out at second?
Duvall.
Okay.
Which he's not a speedster either.
No.
So I don't really know what that was. Sorry I got distracted
that
there
can't
for a second.
Happen.
I was trying not to commit any FCC violations, but I was like, what the bleep are you doing? So
who was more distracted, that play or Chipper Jones? I mean,
Chip.
Chip. I mean, he stood up. I mean, he had a clear look. What happened? I mean, he is getting that video has gone viral.
It's hilarious.
On social
media. I guess Francoeur is doing this game.
Yes.
Yes, he
is. And I had a friend send me in the break that He said, "Poor Larry, that's going to be all over the place today."
Yeah, it is. It is.
So, gotta have that. Come on, Chip.
I mean, I know it's bare hands, but look in the sun. But he had his shades on. He's up out of his seat. I mean, Hall of Famer, you got to make that.
He was in position.
He was right in position.
Andrew would have made that. If that had gone to Andrew, Andrew's making that.
Are you positive?
I think so, yeah.
It is funny how you see some fans that will be holding a kid, holding a beer, holding a pizza. They reach up with one hand and catch it barehanded like it's nothing. And then a guy who played 20 years in the big leagues with none of the above reach up with two hands and it pops out of his hands. I've been there. Like at you go to these youth league games, every now and then the ball comes your way. You got a chance. But the older I get, the more I'm like, I'm not going to try.
Jared just sent me this. He said he's watching that play, and all he heard was Jack Buck saying, "And Lonnie Smith is going to be held up at third, and he didn't do very good base running." That was terrible by Lonnie.
Yeah, totally different scenario, but yeah. Base running mistake.
Right. Yeah, well, I hope it doesn't cost him.
The Seattle Kraken, who come to town on Thursday, they have named their first ever captain in franchise history.
Is it any surprise? No, we've known who it's going to be from the day.
I'm just saying it's official.
Boy Boy Cali?
No.
Yeah, it's Cali Yarncroke, yes. He's their first
ever. That would have been the surprise. Just from the day
but
one.
But you have Marshawn Lynch announce it. The Boy Boy Cali.
Yes.
That's right.
Of course, he didn't know the last name.
No, he didn't.
Mark Giordano.
Yep. Goes from being the captain of the Flames to captain of the Kraken. I was wondering what they were going to do because, you know, Vegas took a while they didn't name a captain their first few years. They went ahead.
Was it the first few years?
It was like the first two, maybe three. It was once they acquired Mark Stone, I think everybody thought, okay, well, there you go. There's the first captain and then, you know, sign him to the extension. But I want to say it was their first three seasons they didn't have a captain.
I think from the time that they learned that Giordano was going to be exposed, they knew he was going to be their captain. And I think David Poile had the same thinking with Tom Fitzgerald. He was like, that's my captain. That's going to be the guy. He just knew. So it just depends on who's available to each team. But I think sometimes that guy's maybe not as obvious.
Sure.
But I think in these cases, it was pretty obvious. Giordano he was a captain. Has the utmost respect, and we'll see him on Thursday.
I know.
Along with the new look franchise. First look at the Kraken. Mm-hmm. Up close.
An old Iron Hook. They're going to miss him. I mean, that's a tough loss.
Well, as I look at their lineup right now, you look at not having Yarncroke and not having Eric Halla. Those are the two guys. You know, they still have Sissons and Cousins who can move around, do different things, different roles. But that is something that is missing a little bit, is that maybe one utility guy less than they have been before. We'll see how that shakes out, how it looks. I see Janot working on the penalty kill a lot. These are all things that we have to see how this materializes.
Let me just tell you, this team is just way bigger. And just think about what they shedded. Sure. Ryan Ellis, when it comes to defensemen, definitely on the smaller side. Victor Arvidsson, nothing need to be said there. Even Cali Yarncroke, who, while he was productive, basically good for 15 goals a season, on the smaller side of things, he's not a big guy. This roster has gotten a whole lot bigger. Man, they are through, up and down the lineup, they got some big boys on this roster. They grew. They were a plant. They got watered well in the offseason. Okay?
Well, they needed to.
These Chia Pets grew, for sure. And Cali's another one. I mean, when you think about their mold right now, when you think about what they've tried to do, their style of play, I don't think it's because the Predators, nobody's going to accuse them of getting pushed around anymore. I don't think.
Well, I hope not.
No.
I mean, they can be big, but definitely. It's what do they do with it? You know, that's the other thing. Like, are they going to have that – chip on their shoulder, that mentality, you know, to not get pushed around.
Well, that they did at the end of last year. That was absolutely happening with the identity. So I think that part I feel pretty good about it. The question is, like we were talking about, the versatility, the experience. They're going a little younger. Can they get the production, the little things at the key moments of the game? This team won a lot of close games. It's no secret how well they did in overtime, how well they did in the shootout. A lot of skeptics are wondering, you know, that they didn't have much margin for error there. So what's it going to look like this year with the team being a little younger, a little less experienced?
Are we going to have NFL zingers to start the final hour?
We are.
We sure are.
All right, cool. NFL zingers next here on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
But first, let me tell you about BetMGM, because you can enjoy the thrill of victory on your very first bet. The King of Sportsbooks welcomes you to Showtime with the Lock of the Year. So this is what you need to do tonight. Place a $10 moneyline wager on either Indy or Baltimore. And if either team scores a touchdown, you'll win $200 in free bets regardless of your bet's outcome. All you have to do is use the bonus code 1025GAME200 when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. It's that simple. Enjoy football like never before with BetMGM's live betting options, boosted odds specials, and daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use that code 1025GAME200 to win $200 in free bets if either Indy or Baltimore scores a touchdown. Nothing beats a W at BetMGM. New customer offer, paid in free bets. You must be 21 years or older. Must be in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for a full list of terms and conditions. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.